to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White. We want to welcome you today and thank you for being present and spending the time with us. This is the place for an in-depth conversation about your life purpose, personal wellness in every aspect of your life. We talk about real life issues to develop life, relationships, and business on purpose. We keep it real. And today on the show, we're excited to have Evan Zivanakis, Executive Coach Asia. I want to find out exactly what this means because I'm totally excited. So welcome, Evan, to the show.
Edna, nice to see you. How are you? Pleasure to be here, and thank you for the invitation.
Oh, I am so excited because, you know, when I saw Executive Coach Asia, I was like, whoa, let me find out what he's talking about. So I see that you are on the leadership development part of this scheme of life. You show up as a developer of leadership. Can you talk about what you do for the organizations?
Yes, absolutely. So, well, first of all, Executive Coach Asia is my website, executivecoachasia.com. My clients are on a global scale. You know, I have clients from the US, from Canada, from South Africa, from Singapore, from Australia, from Europe. But I started my coaching business in Asia.
Okay.
Thus the name. Therefore, that's my URL. You know?
Okay, so, that's great. That's great.
Exactly, and you know, throughout my career, I managed more than 500 employees across 8 countries,
mm-hmm.
and I led and started companies and expanded companies, and specifically in the Asia Pacific region.
Gotcha.
That's why Asia, Singapore, Australia,
gotcha.
Malaysia, Indonesia, and so on. So, I work. You know, my clients are executive leaders, managers, CEOs, C-suites and companies.
Okay.
And I help those individuals and companies with their leadership challenges.
Okay.
And leadership, you know, is a very fuzzy word.
Different people,
you know. So it could be improving communication, improving uh-huh. leadership, executive presence, how to engage employees, very popular right now, how
right.
to, you know, engage employees in the new hybrid work setting,
right.
strategic planning, team coaching, strategic career development and sales training.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I want to tell you that I'm old school and
Thank
I didn't
you.
Know any, I didn't know what people were saying when they said C-suite. And I was like, what is that? And not until, I read about it, you know, I started, you know, researching because I wanted to know what it was, because I wanted to know what people were saying.
Yeah.
And, it's managers. So can you explain what C-suite is encompassed and how it affects how businesses flow?
Yeah, you know, C-level, also called the C-suite, is a term, you know, used to describe higher-ranking executive titles in an organization. So the letter C, you know, ABC, the letter C in this context stands for chief. For example, chief executive officer, chief operating officer, chief marketing officer, chief people officer.
Right.
So, yes. So, this is what it means.
Now, oh, that's nice. Good.
You know, for me, you know, these kind of people are, you know, leadership for me starts from the top.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure you've been to a wedding before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean your wedding. I mean, well, your wedding or your guest's wedding.
Right, right,
Your friend's wedding. And normally you see at the end of the, you know, during the dinner party, at the end of the buffet, you know, it is always like a chocolate fondue fountain.
Uh-huh.
So it's a bit like it's like a small fountain, right? And around the chocolate fountain, you've got different plates with different, you know, like strawberry.
You've got
it's a chocolate fondue fountain. So, you know, leadership starts from the top, and that's exactly, you know, the same way that the chocolate flows from the top is the same way that leadership flows from the top.
Right.
So if the top part of that fountain is properly structured and the chocolate is of good quality, you will have a nice experience. You will enjoy what you eat, right?
Right. Of course.
So, you know, it's exactly the same analogy. Leadership starts from the top. In other words, the fish stinks from the head. Right?
So, yes, it does.
It's exactly what fish sweet means.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you walk into a restaurant today and you see happy employees, happy waiting staff, they're happy to see you, happy to serve you, they have a good attitude, 8 times out of 10, it means behind there is a good manager, there is a good leader, there is a good company.
Right.
And the opposite side, if they are moody, if they don't care, it means somebody else doesn't care.
Right.
And, you know, if you're listening to this and you're a C-suite or you are a business owner, and you don't have to have a huge business. Maybe you're running a small coffee shop or a small restaurant. You know, if you are a business owner, I would like you please to understand that your client is not the client. Your client is the employee.
Ooh, I like that. Very good, Evan.
Edna. That's my attitude. And part of my training is, so who is going to produce for you? You know, if you as a business owner, if you want to get what you want, give your people what they want.
Right. Ooh, that's really good, Evan. That's really, really good. So what would you characterize as great leadership from your experience?
There are many definitions of leadership, as the thousands of books that they were reading on the topic, you know, over the years. So leadership has so many meanings, and there is no right or wrong answer to the question of what leadership is. You know, it's depending on the person who leads,
right,
as well as those led on any given day. Leadership, you know, can mean it's situational. I mean, it can mean teaching, coaching, motivating, teaching, you know, explaining, holding hands, sharing the vision. So, but if you were to ask me, you know, to give you a brief...
In your experience.
Yes, of leadership, I can say that leadership is the ability to bring like-minded people together to get remarkable things done.
Right. Okay.
So, if you would allow me to break down, leadership,
sure,
I think, is the ability, and yes, for me, it is an ability because leadership can be learned.
Right.
It is like a muscle. You can always train your leadership muscles to become a better leader, to bring like-minded people together. I don't mean physically, I mean emotionally, to engage people to follow your vision, because, you know, leaders, maybe the one thing that you need as a leader is followers. If you have no followers, you're no one.
Right.
There can be no leader without a follower, right?
You got that right.
Right, if you are a political leader, a business leader, an organizational leader, a footballer, you know, a sport coach, if people are not listening and believing in what you are sharing, either don't believe in what you are doing, either don't believe in your vision, therefore they don't follow you, sorry to say, but you're not a leader.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the last thing thing is to get remarkable things done.
Right.
For me, that means be able to build something. And again, let me give you an analogy. If I give you, let's say you are a carpenter. If I give you a nice piece of wood, a nice log, and if I give you the best tools that carpenters use, if with the best tools and with that piece of wood you cannot build something, a chair, a table, you are no one.
Right.
So leadership is also execution.
Oh, okay.
So
that's good. That's
the
good
ability,
stuff.
The ability to bring like-minded people together to get remarkable things done. And, you know, you are in the U.S., I'm in Europe and Asia, I'm living between. And the term, the Great Resignation, started from the U.S.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because that's happening much more than, it's happening a lot. Yes, it's happening. And I want to talk about most of my clients when they're doing a side hustle, right? And so they want to transition into that full time.
Yes.
Now I'm not getting that. I'm getting leaving. I've set up things. I want to now be on my own because I have enough experience. I'm not being treated well. Leadership has a responsibility to, and I like what you said previously, mind. That doesn't mean like, you know, just, you know, to get something done, but mind, I think you said soul and body, like everyone has to do it and have the belief system the same, right?
Yes.
So could you talk about like how that leader is supposed to bring that out in you?
Okay. You know, as humans, we all have a need. So I want to go a little bit to the psychological part, right?
Right.
We all have a need to feel secure, connected, stimulated, and challenged.
Right.
Secure, connected, stimulated, and challenged.
Right.
If these needs are met in a work context, if we feel secure, if we feel connected, if we feel stimulated, and if we feel challenged, we are more engaged,
right,
therefore more productive.
Gotcha.
So, you know, security, it's a feeling of well-being. For example, am I safe?
Right.
Like, is my job safe? Is the leader safe? Like,
right.
Do I feel safe next to him, next to her?
Right.
Or am I safe? Like, you're asking me to come to work, but am I safe with so many people around the same working place with COVID? Like, you know,
right,
people got scared over the last couple of years. And safety also means another thing. Like, do I have the basic needs to provide to myself and my dependents?
Oh, that's good. That's really
right?
Good.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, do I have a roof over my head or do I feel financially secure?
Right.
So this is why people are throwing the towel to say, I had enough of that shit. I don't want to work for this
Yes, Evan, yes.
Yes.
That's
I don't
it.
Want to work for this stupid manager and this stupid company anymore.
Right. It's true.
I prefer to use my skills to work, to do something else that feels more safe, more secure, even though I earn less, but I feel better deep inside me and I have more time with my family. And
exactly.
I have more being at my job.
Exactly. And you feel respected and also you're appreciated because, you know, I always say when I was working is that I spend more time with you all. I should feel safe, comfortable, you know, respected. I'm with you 8 hours, you know, more so than my family, you know. So the leadership has to line up. And I love what you said about the fish. Say that again. I like that saying. I like it.
the fish stinks from the head.
Yes. I love it.
You
guys, hashtag that.
If you go to the fish market in the morning and you want to buy fish, if the fish, you know, how do you know if the fish is fresh or sitting there for a few days? If you smell the head and the head smells bad, mm-hmm. if the fish is not fresh.
Right. That's so good.
It's the that same with so companies. Good.
That's so good.
It's the same with companies.
It's same with companies. And I want to talk to the fact that some teams, we've experienced this here in the nonprofit sector. Some teams have managers who have it, have the ability to be leaders, but are in a compromising situation where they don't want to offend the top leader, but try to bring the team, as it were, into line. But they can't because the head doesn't agree with what goes on. How does that make that person who's your immediate supervisor the same as the head? Know what I'm saying? Does it make it the same? How can you be a manager? Let's talk about, my mom calls it, you either gotta shit or get off the pot. You can't be passive aggressive as a manager.
Being in middle management, being the sandwich.
Middle manager, yes.
Yeah, it's really the toughest job to be.
Right, okay.
It's more difficult, it's easier to be an employee or a C-suite than being in the middle, than being a supervisor, a team leader, or a manager.
Right.
Because you want to keep your people underneath you productive,
right,
and above you happy. So how do you do that? It's not easy.
It's not.
And it's not easy. And I have a lot of respect. And yes, it's not easy. So, and this is why, look, in leadership, you have two types of leaders. You have the leaders who are leaders by position.
Right.
And this position.
Right.
What do I mean?
Right.
If I'm the CEO of a company, someone put me there.
Right.
I was not, I am not a political leader. I am not an elected leader.
Right.
I got promoted or I got hired from outside. So I am a leader by position.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you have some other people that are leaders by disposition. Let me explain.
Please do.
They are not the head of the department or the head of the company. They might be a supervisor, a manager, or even an employee, but they act as leaders. They support team members. They roll up the sleeves. They don't blame others. They are on time. They are easy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So those leaders are leaders by disposition.
Right.
No one made them a leader, but they work and they act as a leader for the common benefit and well-being of the team.
Right.
So now, if you are a leader by disposition, mm-hmm. sooner or later, you will become a leader by position.
Ah, how is that?
You will get promoted, okay. People will notice, maybe you will get headhunted,
okay.
You will start
gotcha.
Your own business,
gotcha.
Because you have the skill, you have the soft skills,
right.
You have the people skills.
Right.
So now the ikigai, the sweet spot,
right.
is being a leader in position with the skills of the leader from this position. That's the best place to be.
Right, okay.
Because you are the leader by position, you are right. the CEO, you are the department head, you are the business owner, but you're also...
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Disposition means you know how to treat people,
right.
You know how to resolve conflict, you know how to deal with situations.
Mm-hmm.
And Edna, I through my coaching experience as well as my practical experience when I was a manager and C-suite and when I was running companies,
right.
For, you know, I've seen companies and I coach companies that they are doing very well in the market with a very average product because they know how to manage people and manage situations and manage in general. Right. And at the same time, I also see companies and I coach companies and I train companies that their product is very good. It's technically the best product in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Good. But they struggle to scale because they don't know how to manage things internally.
Ah, that's very good. Yes, yes, very good, yes.
Especially now with the remote work setting, with hybrid work setting, you know, how are you going to engage and energize and not micromanage the people that work from home?
Right.
You know, like, do you have the right structure in place or are you going to become a micromanager, you know?
Right. And can that happen? You know, because we've just experienced that. Can a leader who's not really, I would say, who's by position, you know,
yeah.
Can now the frustration kind of go to them and say, oh, well, they're working from home. How do I manage that they hadn't gotten that skill? Is that when you come into play?
Yes, that's a very, yeah, you hit the nail on the head and you use the word frustration, but mm-hmm. it's a very common challenge lately. And mm-hmm. that's exactly, over the last, I suppose, around 15 months, you know,
mm-hmm.
15 to 20 months, you know, my leading teams causes frustrations nowadays
right.
for many managers and executives. And you know what is one of the most common phrases, you know, when potential clients come to me, they say to me, Evan, we have a high turnover on our team.
Yeah.
Or our team is not engaged.
Right.
Now, nowadays, leading teams causes, as you said, frustration for many managers and executives. And there are many reasons for this dilemma, you know, from lack of clear goal to unclear roles, personality conflicts, unrealistic timelines, you know, poor communication. And this is specifically real for teams that work ad hoc, which are groups that come
together.
Ooh,
yes.
You know, because these kind of groups, they come together for a period and then
yes.
split up, you know?
Yes.
So very little work has been done about these types of teams, although they are very common in organizations.
Yes.
Me, as a coach, this is where I come in. I help leaders, department heads, C-suites, and members of the team to
mm-hmm.
discover what is working well and what can be improved.
Right. Oh, this is so good. This
yeah.
is really, really good. Evan, this is so good because, like myself, I experience, frustration and fatigue with those ad hoc committees. Like they would create the committees because the other committees weren't working. So they would create
yes.
another committee to kind of like find out why it's not working. So you end
you know,
up
I,
in
I
all
coach,
of these.
Right now, I actually coach two nonprofits, one from the US and one from Australia.
Okay.
Obviously for NDNA reasons, I cannot disclose the names.
Right.
But I've noticed that, you know, especially when it comes to board development.
Yes,
develop their board.
Absolutely.
Yes, especially, you know, these kind of board members that don't have a financial benefit from being part of that nonprofit.
Right.
It's challenging to engage them sometimes.
Yeah. And it's very frustrating. It really is very frustrating.
Right. I'll give you an example. One of my latest clients is a technology firm.
Uh-huh.
And they're not big. They're only 15 people. And that technology firm is experiencing high turnover. And we discovered through my coaching that a root cause was that their project leaders were strong
mm-hmm.
at basic, very strong at project management.
Right.
But they lacked the softer skills in creating a true high-performance team.
Ah, yeah, that's good. That's really good. I think leadership, like you mentioned, is very important because, and you said it, even if you have a small business, leadership is important. If you have, you know, a C-suite, you're a manager for a C-suite, it's important because that's the way everything is built right now. No matter if we're home, hybrid, or going to the office, leadership is very important. Talk about how leadership, how you develop leadership and when it should be developed. Like, should it be started, you know, at startup? Should it be, if you notice a problem, should you, you know what I'm saying? Say, talk about that.
Yeah. Look, you know, there is no, first of all, what I would like to share is that there is no magic formula to motivating a team.
Right.
There is no one solution, you know. So as a leader, what you can do, you cannot motivate people. You know, motivation is kind of, it's not a myth.
Right, but it's inside, yeah.
You cannot motivate by pushing someone. You cannot motivating by pulling them.
Right.
So what you do as a leader is you look at where you can impact.
Right.
Where you can create a positive impact. And, for example, it goes two ways. First of all, is by having a relationship with your team on an individual basis, you will start to learn how to engage them and how to provide stimulation and development.
Right.
Because you will understand their big why they do what they do.
Right. Exactly.
And you will be surprised that people, why they do what they do. You know, you will be surprised that some people might work in your company because your company is 10 minutes drive from their house.
That's funny. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm glad I make you laugh. Listen, I work here, the salary is okay, I can get better, but I'm only 5 minutes drive and it's convenient because I have to drop my kids in the local school, so
yeah.
It takes me 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So know your people.
Right.
And number two, on a team basis, you motivate by creating the right environment, and the right environment is where they feel connected, as I said, you know, where they feel secure, safe, and challenged.
Right.
And leadership is, you know, when, if you wake up, you know, this is the thing sometimes with managers and CEOs, you know, if tomorrow morning you wake up and you have a toothache, who are you going to call?
Right.
Who are you going to call if your tooth aches tomorrow morning? Who are you going to call?
Right. Probably no one.
You're going to call your dentist, right?
Yeah, you're going to call your dentist, right, of course. You're not going to call the foot doctor.
If you wake up tomorrow morning and you have water on the floor or something in the sink, something broke.
I'm going to call the plumber.
Yeah, but the thing is, when a leader or a manager or a C-suite, they wake up in the morning and they realize, you know, the sales are down, another team member resigned, somebody is late, the team is not developing, they don't think, oh, I need a coach.
Right.
They don't think like that.
Right.
They think, oh, shit, I can't be bothered to go to work.
Right, I can't be bothered. That's what they say, oh, another one. We're used to it. You know, they fan it off. But
exactly.
They really have to look at that. Yeah, they have to look at it.
They don't say, oh, I need a coach.
Right.
But, you know, so what I want to say, you need to, please, let's understand that management and leadership and scaling companies, it's an ability.
Right.
It is something that you can actually learn with practical coaching and training solutions, providing, and I say providing with a capital B, providing you want to learn.
providing if you want to.
Want to learn, because
right.
I'm going to make you laugh again, and I like it. You can, Edna, you can bring the water to the horse, but you cannot make the horse drink.
You sure can't. And I always used to think they needed to drink. I always used to think they needed to drink. But it's just like everything else. They don't want to. They don't want to.
And leader, you know, Edna, leadership, you know, leadership starts from the family.
Ah. Ooh, explain that.
Hey, look, I believe that if you're a manager in C-suite, if you cannot, you know, whatever, you live with a partner, you are married, if you cannot lead under your roof, you cannot lead under an organizational roof.
Ooh, that's heavy. That's really heavy.
Yes, I see leaders for their life is a mess.
Married,
they have girlfriends, they are cheating right, left, and center.
Yeah.
Everything is a mess. Their company is a mess.
Yes, and people are not happy. I always say that you know, a lot of people say, oh no, my personal life has nothing to do with my business life. Oh yes, it does, because it spills right over. And if you don't fix that, you definitely know what's going on in their personal life. You definitely know by their management
skill. I really believe that as a leader, absolutely. You know, man, if you're a man or a woman, whatever you want to be called nowadays, everything is kind of changing, right?
Right.
So if you want to be a man or whatever you are in your house, first of all, if you live alone, is your personal life organized?
Right.
If you have a family, you have kids, or you live with a partner, you know, are you able to kind of, you know, be calm in tough situations and don't play the blame game?
Exactly.
And, you know, be honest, and you know, keep calm when you are on a Zoom call and your kids are screaming, because the kids don't deserve your frustration.
No, they don't.
So, I think I really believe that leadership starts from the house.
Right, and it's great that you said that. Fulfillment. You have to have fulfillment in order to be a great leader. You have to at least try. You know, at least try to have fulfillment. And if you don't, take some time out. And make sure that you have it, because leadership, you can't lead someone to do something that you're not doing. Right?
Exactly. Well, this is very big. Yeah, we are not in, this is, you know, colonial style of management doesn't work anymore.
No, it doesn't. Mm-mm. Right.
You know, we are not in the colony era anymore, where where the Westerners go to somewhere and they say, oh, you're going to do what you do to the Aboriginals or to the locals. You know?
So right.
colonial style of management doesn't work.
It doesn't. And it's showing up because of the Great Resignation, you know, that's happening now. And I don't think it even has to do with, I think it has, you know, some lessons that we learned through COVID. Yes.
Yeah.
I think that is true, but I think people now realize they got to, you know how you get a space of time and you just sit with yourself and then you realize you get some clarity and then you realize like, wow, I was really being not talked nice to, you know, when you go back.
That's why it is not the Great Resignation. It is the Great Reevaluation.
Yes, I love it. Audience, hashtag that. Say it again. Evan, say it again.
Yes, it is not the Great Resignation. You know, people resigning is the outcome. But in reality, it is the Great Re-evaluation of what the fuck I want to do.
Exactly. Love it. I'm hashtagging that, audience. Audience, please hashtag that, because that is great. I'm going to add this hashtag to our... this episode, because that's great. That's great, great, great.
And this is why you see companies, you see Aetna, that pre-pandemic, you see the companies that before the COVID and before lockdowns and everything, those companies that when everything was kind of how it was,
right?
The companies that back then treat the people right, engage them, keep employees happy,
right?
They train them. Yes, they might got affected a little bit, but not a lot. People stick with them.
Right, right. See, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. This conversation, Evan, was definitely for me. I think you came just for me. I think it just came for me, but I often talk about these points, but I think you brought it home for today, for this audience, and for me, it's very important what you're saying. And audience, we're enjoying it. Remember to hashtag the Great Evaluation instead of the Great Resignation. And I'm glad to get to know you, Evan, and the executive coach, Asia. I know that what you're giving out and what your content and what you know is turning the tables. It's turning the tables of people's lives and businesses' lives and leadership. And I like that. And we appreciate you for being here today. But now we're going to change it up a little bit. And we want to learn something about you, Evan. Because I heard you say something about your wife and your kids were going somewhere and you told them, go ahead while we do this interview. So that's great.
Yes.
So I know that those are...
They're still waiting for me. the balcony.
Okay. So I know that that little family dynamic is important to you, right? Are they the ones that kind of pushed you towards, you know, creating this executive coach? How did you start doing this, and who was behind you?
Yeah, excellent question. And yes, back in 2017, you know, I completed, like, because I was blessed to, you know, I started my own business when I was 25 years old.
Okay.
So I'm not that old, you know, so that's why, you see, I started coaching when I was like 38, 37.
Okay.
By 38, 37, I had like 12, 15 years corporate experience.
Right.
In the UK, in Asia, in Australia.
Right.
So I was like sitting with my wife one night, you know, having wine before our son was born. And I said to her, Jacqueline, her name is Jacqueline. I said, you know, I've done the C-suite, I've done the executive thing, I've done the management, you know, sales, money, career, titles, business cards. I said, I feel like it's my time now that I want to teach managers, you know, I want to share my experience. And she said to me, she said to me, why don't you become a speaker? Why don't you become a coach? Because she said to me, I think you have your own style, you have your international experience, and if you combine that with the fact that you feel now it's time for you to give to the community, to give to those managers, I think she said to you, I think this is the natural next step to do, and this is where she planted the seed that I started Executive Coach Asia.
Nice.
That's my story.
Yeah. Nice. That's beautiful. So what's the best compliment that you ever received? Ooh.
Silence. Yeah. You see, I don't know. It's a good question. Yeah? The best compliment I've ever received.
Yeah, best compliment.
I think it was on a professional level.
It
was from one of my previous managers. He said the simple thing that, yes, Evan, I think you are something like that. I don't remember the exact phrase, but he said something like, yes, Evan, I think you have the ability, or I trust you, or you're capable to do that, when I was working with them opening offices around the world. So basically that compliment gave me the confidence that I needed to continue.
Nice. Good. Okay. If you had a billboard and you could write anything that you want, what would it be and why?
I would say thank you, God.
Oh, very good.
I would write thank you, God, because whatever you believe in, you know, I do believe in, you know, in the energy.
Right.
That is something out there, that is some, you know, whatever you picture it, whatever you believe.
Right.
And I am grateful, and I will say thank you, God, for I'm able to, you know, to wake up every morning, open my eyes, see my family, have my work, and for the health and support that you give me. And I know sometimes it's difficult, but if you look around, there's always something more difficult, right, in different countries, what is happening. So I would write thank you, God, and appreciate and thank you, yes.
Yes. Okay. What is your favorite color?
Yeah, I think it's white. My favorite color is white.
Oh, okay. Can you tell me why? That's interesting. I've never had anyone say white.
Yeah, because I think white is clean, simple, is minimalistic.
Ah, very nice.
And yes, and it's clean, it's minimalistic, is pure, is fresh, is transparent, and is honest.
Oh, very good. I like that. That's great, Evan. That's great. So final thoughts, what's one of your best tips you can give leaders right now? What's one of your best tips?
I give you a sentence, okay?
Okay.
The best tip I can give a leader, whatever you are, organizational leader, political leader, business leader, small business owner, manager, or leader, Effective leadership for me is to provide your people what they cannot provide for themselves.
Ooh, excellent. That's great. That's good stuff, Evan. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you, audience, for listening. Thank you, Evan, for being here of Executive Coach Asia. If you enjoyed this segment of this episode, please help and support us and share it. And, of course, look Evan up. Evan, how can we find you as an audience?
You can find me online on LinkedIn.
Okay.
I'm quite active there. Evan Zivanakis, Zivanakis.
Mm-hmm.
You can drop me, or you can, you can find me through my website, executivecoachasia.com.
Okay.
You can drop me an email, evan@executivecoachasia.com, or you can visit me where I am. You can have a cup of coffee. If I prefer face-to-face right now, I am in Cyprus. I am in Europe.
Okay.
If you're traveling around, I will be in Greece.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I will be in Greece in July, August, September, October, and so on. So offline, or I prefer, I think you agree, I prefer face-to-face, a cup of coffee, a glass of wine, but otherwise online, LinkedIn, okay. executivecoachasia.com, or email evan@executivecoachasia.com.
Oh, this has been very informative, very interesting, and I'm sure we won't stop talking about this. We will keep in touch. Remember, audience, to reach out to Evan. If you'd like to leave him a message, you can always press the button and leave him a message. I will make sure that he gets that question. So catch up to me online, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, at EJW Coaching. And I will be able to reach out to you. Remember to support us by pressing the like, the subscribe, the like, and share around. And this is Edna White and Evan of Executive Coach Asia saying goodbye for now.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.